on the Valhalla Movement Network.
Marco Polo here with another edition of the Valhalla Movement Podcast, and today we have a very, very, very interesting guest. Apparently this is what I'm going with today. I've been saying a lot of varies. I don't know why. But very interesting guest. I know I say this every time, and I mean it every time. But before we get there, I do want to talk to you about something that we have been doing and we recently launched here at Valhalla, which is called the Valhalla Agency. So for the longest time, for the people who actually directly know me or who have followed me for a while, I actually run a marketing company, and I've ran a marketing company for a long time, and we were doing photo, video, websites, newsletter management, social media management, all these things. And I always wanted to create this marketing company that did good, like social good, right? That took on social causes and it enabled change makers to be for hire so that people can make money doing the things that they believe in and that are right for the world and that, you know, really are going to help people out. And today we're really speaking to somebody who kind of seemingly fell ass backwards into something like that. And we'll get to that in a moment. But the idea is that I've now kind of, I don't want to say dissolved, but I've merged this agency that for me with the talents and people that are involved in Valhalla, and we've now created an agency where you guys, the people listening, can actually hire us to do the work that might maybe not be your forte. Like maybe you got this great business in the green industry, but you guys aren't so great at doing videos, or maybe you want to set up a Kickstarter to fund one of your projects, or maybe you just need consulting or whatever it is. And the idea is that it's not just us for hire, but it really could be also you for hire. So if you're listening and you're the person who has the talent and you want to spread this talent and you're looking for this kind of work and you are a change maker and you do want to be for hire or freelanced out, then we are also accepting applications. So the idea is that it's really a talent agency, a pool of change makers, and then it's also, you know, people who run organizations or businesses or whatever that we resonate with and that we believe are going to make a better world, then we will accept those people as clients, if you will, and work together on a team. So visit agency.valhallamovement.com for more information. That's agency.valhallamovement.com. Now, without further ado, we are going to talk about something that literally personally also drives me crazy and a phenomenal story with Drew Beale, who is part of killthecup.com. And it's this movement to literally kill the plastic or styrofoam or non-recyclable, in a sense, cup it's famously all around, whether it be college campuses and people playing beer pong or whether it be at just a coffee machine at work or whatever it is. There are cups circulating everywhere. And there's no shortage of seeing Starbucks cups laying on the road or in the ditches on the side of the highways. And so we need to do something about this. Like this is a problem. And Drew is really doing something about this. So, wow. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Yeah. And thanks for having me. It's quite an intro. I appreciate it.
Oh man. No, you're doing such, look, for the people who don't know what Kill the Cup is, how about this? Tell them the story of why Kill the Cup came into existence. Like just embrace us with the awesomeness that will surely ensue.
Of course. Well, like you mentioned, coffee cups are a huge problem. There's 50 billion paper coffee cups that get used in America each year.
Whoa, 50 billion?
Yeah, that's the latest statistic I've seen.
Oh my God.
And Kill the Cup story really goes back to when I used to work in an office in a cubicle in financial services, and every day my coworkers, they'd do the same thing. They'd go down, get coffee, and they'd always get a paper cup. And no matter how much I pleaded with them, they'd never, you know, change their habits. And it wasn't until I went to grad school later on that I came up with this idea for Kill the Cup, which is a social media-inspired game that rewards consumers for uploading photos of themselves with a reusable coffee cup. And then we partner with businesses and coffee shops to measure the environmental and financial impact of our programs.
That is incredible. So you were working a regular, whatever, 9-to-5 corporate type job or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden you see this happening. I mean, many people see this happening, but what inspired you to really take action? Like, is there a particular story? Is there something that you learned? Is it that statistic about the 50 billion coffee cups? Or like, what? You know what I mean? It's like, I think other people have had this thought before, but what really made you be like, you know what? No, this ends here. Like, I'm going to kill this trend.
Yeah. So it was when I did about 3 years in financial services and was going back to business school. And during that time, I read the book Cradle to Cradle, kind of an environmental manifesto that really got me rethinking some daily consumer habits that have a huge impact on the planet. Mm-hmm. So when I was in business school, it was a very entrepreneurial focused program. And as the capstone course, you recruited some classmates and started a company or a social venture, what have you. Mm-hmm. And I said to a couple of classmates, hey, I've got this idea for a cup program. We put some proposals together, and the school gave us a $3,000 grant to run an 8-week program and try and increase reusable cup behavior on campus at UC San Diego.
Wow. That's a pretty big leap right there, right? Like, it was all of a sudden you had this thing, you were thinking about it, and then this idea, you learned about it, Cradle to Cradle, great book, by the way. Gotta go, you know, if you haven't read that or you haven't looked at it, it's obviously a play on the words cradle to grave, which is how we think about things in our society, right? In fact, even the cup, we think about, oh, we just need the cup for the moment that we have the coffee or the water or the latte or whatever the hell it is that you're enjoying at that moment. And then the second that cup is empty, it's in the grave, right? It's gone. It's wherever you throw it, whether you recycle it, whether you clean it, whether you reuse it a couple of times or then throw it out, it's kind of gone. It's lost in the ether. And we forget about it. We dissociate from the fact that we use things consistently without even knowing and without even thinking twice about it. But you thought twice about it. You did something, and then all of a sudden, you had this idea, it brewed upon you, but like, tell me a little bit more about how you guys actually started. Like, it's one thing to have an idea, it's another to turn it into something that you now do full time, right? So,
yeah.
Give me the juicy details.
Yeah, sure. A lot of ideas, I guess, that people end up having a passion for or that they pursue, and I'm sure you might have experienced this with Valhalla, but it was an idea that kind of, you know, I'd think about it over and over, and then it'd sit on the shelf for a while. So early on, I was like, what if there was a perfect reusable cup that everybody wanted to use? Like, it became the norm.
Okay.
But then I did some research, and I just couldn't figure that out. So I put the idea on the shelf for 6 months or a year. And then you have other experiences. You know, for me, I took some classes in consumer behavior, was exposed to some new things with social media marketing. And eventually the idea comes back. There was one study that comes to mind that really kind of pushed me in this direction. Mm-hmm. It was a study done by some professors in Southern California on energy efficiency.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you heard this one. So it was a program where they wanted to get people in a specific neighborhood to turn off their air conditioning at night and use their fans to reduce the load on the local electricity utility.
Sure.
So they did an experiment to see what kind of messaging would work to get people to change behavior.
Okay.
So they had a bunch of MBAs go out and put little door hangers on people's houses, on their doors. So they had three messages. One was like, you know, turn off your air conditioning and use your fans because you'll save X amount of dollars on your bill every month.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was, do it, we'll save the environment. And the third one was, do it, so future generations have a good world to live in.
Sure.
And none of those worked. None of those impacted behavior change. In fact, if I'm correct on the study, there was a slight, like, negligible increase in energy use.
Oh, man, that's great. I am not surprised in the slightest.
Oh, yeah, God. But there was a fourth door hanger that they used, and it simply said, turn off your air conditioning at night and use your fan because a majority of your neighbors do. And your majority of your neighbors are taking steps to reduce their impact on the environment. And that worked.
Wow. Keeping up with the Joneses worked more than anything else.
Social norms.
Holy shit. That is incredible. No, I've never heard of the name of this. Did you know the name of that study?
I'm going to link it. It's done by Cialdini and Professor Schultz.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of Professor Schultz, actually.
Cialdini is now an advisor at O-Power. That's a company that does a bunch of stuff with energy efficiency in D.C. Mm-hmm. And Schultz is here at Cal State San Marcos, down in Southern California, where I am.
Wow, that is amazing. And so the social norm is what changed that. And so you and your brilliant mind, you sit there and you hear the study, and you're like, wait a second, this applies to cups. We can change the social norms of cups. And we just need a catchy name and a catchy game and gamifying it, and which we've all figured out works really, really well. Creating reward systems, like even credit card reward systems and all these loyalty programs that work at all these stores, are incredible how well they work. It's really staggering. And it's because it plays upon the social norms of and the social status of particular things, right? Like being part of a particular air miles or airline club gives you a certain social status and a certain comfort of, you know, air travel or you know, in an airport lodge or lounge or whatever it is, that is just slightly above the next person or the average person, right? And so that creates this whole system where we change our behaviors and become loyal to particular ideas based on this intrinsic value that is kind of being promised to us in that moment. And that kind of seems like is what basically you guys are doing, in a sense, right? That's the game that you've created. I mean, you mentioned, okay, we create incentives for people to not use the plastic or whatever, the throwaway cup, and instead bring their own mug or whatever it is, because what ends up happening is that it's easier to do that on a company level to get a whole bunch of people to do it than to do it on a one-on-one individual level. Why? Because it seems like you just explained it, right? It's because if everyone's doing it, and when I look at my neighbor and they're doing it, then I'm the guy who's standing out. Or at least if I feel like I'm the bad guy who's standing out, then I might change my habits just to fit in. And is that true? Like, I'm assuming that you are seeing and now manifesting it in your own kind of experience at this point.
Yeah, precisely. You know, long term, we want to get to the point where, you know, that guy that has the paper cup is kind of feeling a little bit ashamed of himself. You know, he doesn't want to, you know, be seen by his friends like, yeah, you know, today I forgot my cup. I had to waste it. And it's amazing. Like I said at the top, the 50 billion paper cups that get used in America, it's such a small percentage of people right now that bring a reusable cup. And I've got all the stats and stuff, you know. I live and breathe, kill the cup.
But what's the stats? How many people are using reusable cups at the moment?
Yeah, so Starbucks has a 2015 goal that they want to sell 5% of all their drinks in reusable cups. So they've been tracking this for several years now. They've yet to crack 2%.
Wow.
So that's less than 1 in 50 people bring a reusable cup to get coffee.
And what are your thoughts on, like, so I've heard the programs of like, well, if they charged me less for the coffee, I'd bring my cup. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's funny you say that, because the incentives that are currently in place to get people to bring a reusable cup are very similar to those, treatments they tried with the study that I talked about with energy efficiency. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Starbucks, you get 10 cents off your coffee. We've seen that small financial incentives won't really impact behavior. Mm-hmm. Another one is, hey, do it because it's good for the environment. But also, you know, everybody uses that anymore, right? Everybody's green. Everybody's doing something.
Yeah.
Sure. So, or at least, you know, saying.
I'm not challenging you on that. I'm just saying, like, I'm just exhaling because I know how that feels, or I know the illusion of that to some degree, but yeah.
Right. But with the coffee, exactly. It's that thing where let's do this as a community. So with our games, the first one we ever did, a weekly prize was $50. So every time you uploaded a photo, you got entered into a weekly raffle, and you could do one photo per day. So it's fun. There was a leaderboard. You could see how you stacked up. Your friends would see if you were at the top of the leaderboard.
And so, people would vote, like to vote who, like which picture won, kind of thing. Is that it?
We didn't do any voting, although we do want to do some of that stuff in the future.
Okay.
It was purely, hey, if you bring a cup every day and send us a photo, you'll get a point on the leaderboard, and that's like a raffle ticket. So at the end of the week, the more points you had, the better your chances of winning. But we pick one photo at chance to win the prize.
Oh, okay.
And then the photos also played a part in establishing those social norms.
Mm. So, yeah, because when people upload picture, them on their Instagrams and Facebook and all that stuff, and then people are like, "Oh shit, that person's bringing a cup, and I'm the bad guy again. I'm the asshole who's not, in a sense." And so they basically influence their immediate surroundings, in a sense.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's a study somewhere, if you see a friend or a colleague using a reusable cup or engaging in any kind of environmental activity, you yourself become more inclined to also take some kind of green action.
Mm. Okay. And so tell me, now make me feel good about this for a little bit. How many people are doing this now? How many uploads and how many pictures? How many people are actually visiting this site now? How many people are participating? Like, you know, if you know the statistics about the cups, you must know the statistics about how many people have kind of stepped up to the challenge that you've put forth.
Yeah, and the timing for that question is great because we just wrapped up our inaugural university challenge.
Oh, okay.
So the program we did, last spring when I was in grad school was one university. It was UC San Diego. And people were uploading photos, competing against each other for prizes. That has now grown into this nationwide initiative on college campuses where student ambassadors sign up to run a team.
Okay.
And then we put them through educational webinars, prepare them for how to run a grassroots campaign at Changing Behavior.
Okay.
And then we set them loose for 4 weeks in October. These students at 8 schools across the country were running their own Kill the Cup program, getting people to upload photos, all of that. And in 20 days of competition, we had 1,260 people upload over 2,200 coffee selfies with their cups.
Oh, wow. Coffee selfies. Is that what that's the branding of you were going with? Send us your coffee selfies.
That's what the kids, you know, the kids these days.
Okay, so wait. Now I want to ask some questions here. Why, like, some logical questions in my mind, which is, why start at universities? And is the idea to expand? I'm assuming the idea is obviously to continue to expand, like anything in life, continue to kill the cup, right? To eventually change these consumer habits. I find it interesting that you guys were able to start at a university. It makes a lot of sense based on, you know, that's kind of where your grant money or whatever your funding kind of came in originally. So I'm assuming that kind of is continuing to roll out over time. But I'm assuming that you guys would also love to get into corporate America, right? Like go into those big office buildings with the water coolers and the coffee machines and be like, no. Damn reusable cups here. Like, you guys have an establishment, you have a roof over your head, you have shelves right over here. You could put mugs and just take care of making sure that everyone has a mug in some way, shape, or form. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Like, tell me universities. Tell me why colleges.
Yeah, so the colleges are, I mean, it worked. The first one worked out of college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we definitely had some of those thoughts about where this could expand. And we've done some, you know, due diligence and talked to corporations, independent coffee shops. But we realized, you know what, let's figure out this college thing first and get really good at it. Mm. Let's become the best reusable cup campaign on college campuses in the country. And then we can try and test our hand at these other things. And there's also, I mean, another piece of it is, you know, millennial is a key word. But it really is this millennial generation that, as they become the next consumer powerhouse, it's really their daily habits and their behaviors that can really have an impact on our planet's natural environment. So we do see the importance of tapping into that and helping shape those behaviors. And then there's also a lot of students that are tapped into that. They want to do good for the environment, but they might not necessarily have all the tools and resources at their disposal on how to implement those ideas. So with a program like the University Challenge, we're trying to find those student leaders that are passionate and give them a little training, give them a little, some resources on how to take an idea and implement it, teaching them the importance of having metrics and forming partnerships and having collaboration. And then they get to run their own Kill the Cup campaign. And the student teams that win based on metrics for social awareness and waste reduction win their own, they win social impact grants to fund their own sustainability projects.
Wow.
So full circle, you know, we got our start with a $3,000 grant from UC San Diego. And just, you know, we just had 8 teams compete in our University Challenge, and we're going to be giving away $5,000 in social impact grants to these student teams.
Wow, that is amazing. So I feel like, you know what this reminds me a little bit about, which is some of these campaigns like Movember, right? Yeah. Where people like men's health issues. I actually met now, I think, the executive director of Movember recently at an event called Hatch out in Montana. Phenomenal invite-only kind of event, just incredible place. And I met some people who, we discussed these kind of ideas, right? How do you get people to mobilize? How do you get people to take action? I mean, that to me is what the most important piece for me personally in Valhalla is, the taking action piece of it, which is, I've seen so many problems being thrown at me from documentaries to protests, and all we see is the complaining. All we see is the problem. Oh, climate change, be weary, or be scared of this, or watch out, or we're going to hell, or like we're going to go, everything's going to shit, or whatever belief system you might have about it. And all of it might be true and might not be true, and it doesn't even matter whether it's true or not. The problem is that the message was wrong. The message was this negative message, like, you know, almost like quitting smoking. Don't tell me to quit smoking. I know, right, smoking is bad for my health, right? Or the person who's a smoker knows that it's kind of bad for them. But the idea is that what we need to tell them is what they're going to gain from it instead. And that's what these social norms, in a sense, are kind of replacing, or kind of not replacing, but like kind of doing, is that they are creating this gain of some kind that people can kind of be a part of. And it allows them to also not only just kill the cup and be a part of the game, but also to kind of brand themselves in a particular way. Think about like when you were in high school, right? If you wore this thing, then you were part of that crowd. And if you were a jock, you were part of this crowd. And we did certain things that enabled us to be a part of that crowd. There was like a couple of key things that can enable us to be a part of that crowd. And so right now there is a crowd for being an environmentalist, or for being somebody who cares about where our world is going. And that crowd is ideally growing, and ideally it's no longer a crowd, and it's really the mass, and really becomes mainstream, right? But the idea is that it does always start by being cool. And that's what kind of what we need to do, is make sustainability not only mainstream, but how do we do that, really? We have to make it sexy. We have to make it fun. And we have to make it interesting. And that's why I find like the whole coffee selfie idea is just genius. Like, I really believe you guys are onto something here. And you're doing it in a fun way. And if I go on your website, killthecup.com, for the people listening, it just feels fun. Like, it just feels like we're on a mission. Yes, it's serious. Yes, but we're not taking that serious tone. And I wonder how much you, how much of this did you, like, envision and understand right away? And then how much of this just, like, kind of worked out that way? Like, how much, like, you know what I mean? Like, how did this fun branding, messaging, game element come to life in you? I mean, you heard the study, fine, but it's one thing to hear the study. I think a lot of people do. It's another to implement it and take that approach and actually stick to it. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, you know, you said a key word there, fun.
Mm.
And that's one of our core values. And that's the whole thing, right? Like even with Movember, like you mentioned that. That's a fun thing. At the end of the day, yeah, there's positive impact. And for us, we just want to promote, hey, people are having fun, taking pictures, winning prizes. People want to hear less about the environmental metrics and, you know, are the coffee shops benefiting from this stuff? You know, we'll take care of that in the background.
Yeah.
But we got to promote the fun. And to your question, it's tough, right? When you're in a project and trying to grow a movement, you know, you go back and forth about trying to find yourself and what your messaging is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a nonprofit organization. So a lot of times you'll look to see what else is out there. And you almost try and be like, all right, well, we need to fit a certain mold. Or people want to view us as, you know, being this official organization.
Mm.
And you can, you know, go down that road for a while and then you realize, wait a second, let's look at ourselves. We're supposed to be the fun guys. And you got to just
throw
serious
some guys who are taking care of all their legal stuff all the time. Like, yeah, you got to do that, but you got to do it in the background. That's not what you got to promote, right?
Yeah, yeah. You got to have, you know, you got to be able to laugh at yourself once in a while and just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another idea, when you said Movember, I think we're going to coin the word Cuptober. We're going to claim October as our month right here.
You might have to compete with, is it cancer or breast cancer in October or something? Yeah, I think it is. Pretty sure.
We'll do a cross benefit. We'll collaborate.
There you go. Exactly. You'd be like, look, we're going to kill breast cancer while killing the cup at the same time.
We'll do some kind of reusable cup project at all those, the walks.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Or what you'll do is you'll approach the Cancer Society and you'll say, one of the things that you guys, like, people could donate to get as a, like, kind of reward, or one of the things you can hand out is reusable coffee cups. That would be, that's an interesting one right there.
Mark, that's brilliant. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, you should write that down. Look, I studied marketing, for those who don't know, and I've been doing it forever. And, you know, I come out with a decent idea here and there. that makes a lot of sense. You have to gamify it. You have to turn it into something that becomes an interesting, fun thing, and this is happening. And I really wonder, is it because we're inherently just want to play? We just want to have fun? Is that really just it? Like, it's just, we are addicted to having fun. We just want to do things that make us smile and laugh more than anything else. And that's why we kind of subscribe to anything that we feel is fun. And that's why we go to amusement parks. That's why we go to the movies. That's why we go out to bars and nightclubs or whatever it is. And it's because we are, in a sense, doing it for fun. And I wonder how this translates onto a bigger scale for organizations and for people like Starbucks, right? Or I don't know, Second Cup or whatever you guys have, whatever coffee shop you might have locally, or on college campuses, or even, like I said, the coffee machines and the water coolers. How do we scale this? Like, how does Valhalla or somebody listening or anybody who's kind of, you know what, I want to be part of Kill the Cup. I want to have this fun. I want to create fun. How do they do this now too? How do you know what I mean? Like, more so than the obvious, which is, hey guys, go and get a reusable coffee cup and use it for real. More than that, how do people join? How do people be a part of this? How do they change their organizations or their employers' coffee cup situation?
Great question. We've got some ways that we can give people on how to run their own program. You know, if they want to be the spearhead a movement within their company or their community. And then we're also forming networks of independent coffee shops, of corporate partners that want to see this change and make it part of their corporate culture.
Wow.
So one idea that we're, you know, building for 2015 is Kill the Cup Nation.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. network of independent coffee shops that support the reusable cup movement. You know, they can have a sign in their window or at their counter like, hey, kill the cup, bring your own cup, upload a photo. And similar to with the universities, how we made it a contest between schools, we can make it a contest between coffee shops, between cities, and things like that. So these coffee shops, yeah, there could be prizes for people that upload photos, but then we'll gather the data. We'll find out, you know, what city has the highest reusable rate. We can highlight projects and communities for their positive impact.
I think you can also reward, in the same way that you rewarded the teams in schools, you can also reward the coffee shops. Be like, hey guys, we're on a challenge. We're part of this challenge. We're trying to kill the cup. I'm glad to see, by the way, you have a nice reusable cup there. I'm kidding. But the way that you could do it is get them involved and then get people who show up to be like, hey, we're on this challenge. If you have a reusable mug, upload your picture here and we can win something. And we, if we win, we'll use the money to throw a nice coffee party or something, a tea time for all our clients or something like that, or whatever it is. Like, that could work, because we are, if there is anything that we are loyal to in America, it is our coffee. We are dedicated to getting coffee. We are absolutely addicted to it, not only because it has addictive things in it, like caffeine, obviously, but we are addicted to the process. We're addicted to walking into a coffee shop and the nice warm feel and holding this nice warm thing on a cold day. I'm in Montreal right now and it's snowing outside and it's freezing. I'm wearing a sweater inside. Like, it's not fun, but when you have a coffee, everything seems better, right? Everything's just fun and it's like, ah, it's warm and it feels nice and it's comforting and it's part of our routine. And to change routine, we all know that this is hard, right? But I think you guys are nailing it, right? Going towards some of the coffee shops, getting them involved, and then just scaling this out away from universities. Not away, part of universities, but like outside of universities, and also doing this too.
Yeah, and you nailed it. I mean, you have taken some classes, because these ideas you're throwing at me, I should be paying for this.
So I do have one other idea, but I'm going to let you continue. I'll get to it.
So the idea about throwing like a party, right? Mm-hmm. So that's some of in the early stages of this Kill the Cup Nation idea. It's like, all right, if we do a competition between shops here in San Diego, the winning shop can throw the end of campaign party. But as this scales and we grow to take that to multiple cities, what if we can get some big bands involved, some music acts, and whatever city proves to have the highest reusable cup rate, we could throw a party there, throw a big event. And there's a lot of cool organizations out there that help you throw like zero waste festivals.
Yeah.
And again, it's fun, mm-hmm. right? And it's positive impact. And I think that could be something that works. I think that could be a lot of fun too.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that you could do is get these universities. Here's two ideas I'm going to throw at you.
Okay.
Students love parties, right? It's no secret. College is about partying, not about learning. Right? Am I right, guys? No, but come on. They love partying. We understand that, okay? And in fact, maybe the environmental kids, to some degree, want to gain some popularity, and maybe they want to throw their own party. And so how they throw their own party is they actually get it funded, and they make the booze free if you show up with a cup. Right? And then you take the selfies, and then you win, so you get all the money back for the party. Or you try and win beforehand, you have the money, and then you have the party anyway. Either way, it could work. That's my first idea. The second thing is actually going to come a little bit off topic, but it's something I watched recently, and I'm going to give a shout out to a movie called Cowspiracy, which came out, really talks about the environmental impact of industrial agriculture, but more so industrial farming, particularly of cows, and how that is one of the, if not the leading cause of global warming, and that's their whole argument, and very much true. In fact, it's not only them that's saying it, it's actually the UN. But no environmental groups like Sierra Club or Greenpeace are talking about it, because there is a strong lobby against it. Now, I don't think there's a lobby against the coffee cup, or against, you know, people lobbying in I don't know, Washington saying, hey, we need cups and they're ruining our business and we got to protect the jobs. And it's not like coal here or oil. This is something that we could do without, and I think everyone would be happy to see do without, even the coffee shops. But what I find really interesting about what Cowspiracy did is that the name that they used is brilliant. And what it alludes to is that there is an enemy that is hidden. That's how I feel about it, which I always felt that the best movements of any kind, whether it be Gandhi and freeing India, or whether it be Martin Luther King or women's rights movements or any movie you've ever seen, always had an enemy, right? Even if I think about Movember, or I think about the Breast Cancer Society and all the movements that they create, okay, awareness and all that stuff, they always pick the enemy and target it endlessly and go after it, and we're not stopping until we've killed the cup. And in your case, that enemy is the cup, and you made the enemy something less than the environment, right? You brought it down into something that was less kind of big and scary, and like we felt that we can't do anything about, and you brought it down to, no, it's the cup, that's who it is, we're going after the cup. I always felt that the best message is also target the enemy and unveil the enemy consistently. And sometimes they do it in a very clever and funny and interesting way. And so I think what you should consider is some actual like physical signs and posters and things that actually kind of paint the cup as this weird enemy. Almost like there's a, you know, wanted posters or something, you know what I mean? Where you just see cups everywhere and like, wait a second here. Creating enemies out of cups, and then having people like see this and laugh and then have fun, right? Associate it to fun in their mind, and then potentially take on this challenge. So that was my other thought. I thought Cowspiracy did a good job because they painted the enemy as if there was a something behind this cow stuff that we didn't know. And there was. but the way they did it and the word that they chose to me is why they're having success as a, you know, independent documentary.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like those wanted signs you came up with. we're having our first annual end of the year party tomorrow night here in San Diego, a big award show. You know, we'll recap some of the successes that these students had running their programs. And yes, there will be beer. We're running a promotion. If you bring your own pint glass or bring your own cup, you'll get discounted beer.
Amazing.
And then for people that don't, we have "I'm a Loser" written on all the paper cups.
Oh, hopefully you don't have to give out any of them, right?
Hopefully not, yeah. But there will be shaming involved.
Yes, understood. See, that's good. That's great. You're creating the enemy. You're creating this fun social game. Obviously, it's going to be tasteful shaming in a sense. I don't know if that sounds oxymoronic, but it's definitely possible somehow. But that, I don't know, I focusing on the enemy and creating something really vilifying about them, and then just creating interesting, funny, engaging posters or campaigns is a phenomenal idea. And that's what like Kony did too, right? We created an enemy out of Joseph Kony, and nobody had heard about this guy. And so what they didn't say, hey, we're going to go there and we're going to solve this problem, because then that felt too big. What they said is, we're going to do one thing for this problem, and that's the biggest thing we possibly can do, and we're going to take out their leader. And how we're going to do it? We're going to make him famous. That was Kony. And don't get me wrong. What happened after, and there's some guy naked in the street in San Diego or whatever it is another story. But what they did, that video of how they did it and how they took a creative approach to that, is the next level of awesome. So I really wonder, and this is my question in this, is, where are you going from here? Like, what is next for you guys? You just wrapped up this year. Where are you going? Where can the listeners who are hearing this, how can they support you even further? How can they help you kill the cup?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we're going to grow the University Challenge for sure. That's going to be our annual fall event. So if there's any student listeners out there, we have an early registration for the 2015 University Challenge on our website, killthecup.com. We're going to start developing Kill the Cup Nation. So any coffee shop listeners out there, We've got a contact form on the website for that as well. And then a third piece, which you've kind of alluded to a couple times in your comments, is the corporate angle.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few partners that we're looking to partner to do a program with in 2015 on what Kill the Cup looks like for the office edition. What impact metrics can we look at that benefit the office environment? So it's an interesting thing because on college campuses and a Starbucks or local coffee shop, the purchases are, it's transaction based. So you can measure out of how many drinks sold, what percentage were sold in reusable cups. But, you know, in most offices, they give away coffee for free and water to their employees. Mm-hmm. So there's not that cost element. And even if a company, you know, saves a few hundred bucks a month on supplies, it's really not going to make a dent in their bottom line. So it's, okay, what can we use this coffee cup as a metaphor for resource efficiency in general? And do programs with corporate employees that, you know, are fun and get them engaged in bringing their own cup, but then saying, okay, what other activities on a day-to-day basis are you being wasteful? And could we benefit the company? And that speaks to, there's other behaviors besides cup usage.
Mm-hmm.
We think the framework of photos and games could be applied to a variety of environmental behaviors, carpooling, composting, reusable bags, several things. And we've got some funny campaign names for all those too. My favorite of which is Taper the Paper. But I think we could still be a few years away from Taper the Paper. But we have actually piloted some other programs. We did a Fill the Car program, actually, to encourage carpooling to campus, colleges. And like I said, this was back when we said, all right, let's just nail this cup thing. Let's become the best reusable cup campaign that we can. But there are a lot of avenues, I think, that this could grow to and continue to accelerate the impact we're able to have.
Yeah, I can see a viral video of some of this kind of stuff going out, too. If you guys put up like some good scripts and put some money into hiring some of these students or whatever to do these videos, and or give a cash prize to the best video about Kill the Cup somehow, that could be really empowering and engaging as well, right? Like, because that again creates the culture. Because I've always said, and at Valhalla we talk about what is called freedom culture, right? To empower and encourage individuals to proliferate their unique gifts to the world, right? Or to spread their unique gifts to the world. And the idea is that if we're going to do that, if we're going to change the shape and face of sustainability, we're going to have to change the culture. And companies, yeah, you're right. They're not going to save hundreds of dollars on cups, but they do want good culture. And good culture leads to happier employees, and happier employees leads to way better sales and way better performance as a company. And we've seen this time and time again with some of the world's biggest organizations like Google and Facebook and some of these other Zappos and whatever, who have great company culture, right? And we need to kind of bring that into the workplace. We got to make the workplace fun again. You know what I mean? Like we need to add a little spice to the mix at times, you know. And it's not to say that they don't have, other things that are fun. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they do. But the idea is that you could do something way more with that. And I like the idea that you're now thinking also beyond, and coupling some programs that might, you know, kind of fit in unison, right? The composting one being a huge problem, like. How easy is it to really compost, to just separate your you know, the things that belong in the garbage, I guess. And that's, you know, I'm saying that with a grain of salt. And your food waste, and not making that food waste go down into the depths of these big garbage pits, where they can now instead turn into organic matter like soil and stuff that you can use to plant gardens and make a real difference and impact, and again continue to change the culture. It's like, it's really like a wave, right? I always see this as, it's like a snowball effect. You started with one university and now you're at eight, And the truth is that I'm sure if I talk to you in a year's time from now and 2 years' time from now, you're going to be doubling and getting more and more people involved, and I'm sure this is going to grow. I know it. And Valhalla is definitely going to help you with this, and maybe we're going to figure out some version of how we're going to do that together. But the idea is that in this, in you doing this and in us doing what we're doing, we are changing the culture of the times, right? The zeitgeist is now shifting away from this and into something better. And yeah, I even wonder if, like, have you guys experimented with making, like, funny cups and putting, like, interesting things and actually producing your own cups, but that are in some way, shape, or form, you know, funny or eye-catchy or, I don't know, something that, like, stands out to people in some way?
We haven't done anything along those lines, but the more you talk about it, especially, like, doing a video contest or a graphic design contest that we'd feature on a cup, that could be really successful. We've done some stuff in the past. We've co-branded cups with a clean canteen. We did a promotion with Keep Cup out of Australia. Mm. We've got the one funny thing that we're doing as sort of an awareness / fundraiser starts tomorrow. It's my latest invention, the no sleeves tank top.
Oh, okay.
It's we're doing a campaign to promote, you know, Kill the Cup reduces waste from disposable cups and sleeves.
Okay.
So it's a t-shirt that it's a tank top that literally says no sleeves on it. It also comes in long sleeves for anybody who wants to buy a gag gift before Christmas.
Oh my God.
But you know, try to have some fun with it. But I do like that idea of putting some different graphics on a cup or something like that.
You know what I keep thinking about too? All the people who are playing beer pong. And just constantly, like, imagine doing a beer pong tournament, Kill the Cup, beer pong tournament, but all the cups are not these Dixie cups, which are recording. Looking at the U.S., like, the Dixie cup is one of your, the marks of, like, there's the Eagle, and then there's the Dixie cup, and colleges that kind of marry. America and the Eagle are one thing in our minds, and then colleges and Dixie cups are another, I think, and just changing that culture by doing something interesting on that level too would be so interesting. I'm sure people are listening right now and being like, "Shit, this is what I need to do. I can be part of Kill the Cup, and we'll do a beer pong tournament with reusable cups instead of Dixie cups or whatever."
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge problem, right? Those red cups at the parties on colleges.
And bars.
And the bars. There's a lot of groups I've come into contact with over the past year, like fraternities and sororities doing projects called, you know, Greeks Gone Green, and trying to tackle that project. You know, maybe they'll collect all the red cups after a party and they'll wash them. But, you know, it's a convenience factor. And that's the same thing, you know, how this whole thing got started. My coworkers couldn't be burdened with bringing a coffee cup to Starbucks in the morning. They had to just get disposable. And when you start playing games and stuff, you know, you have a couple drinks, you know, your values and things, you might just take a second from over the shoulder. So yeah, it's that convenience factor. You know, it's tough to overcome, but I'm sure there's a solution. I'm sure somebody listening right now has the idea in their head for how to solve it.
Well, what if it was, yeah, because I guess, what is the inconvenience, right? The inconvenience of having a cup is that you have to hold it. Mm-hmm. So even when you're done, you have to carry this thing that you're done with, in a sense, or you have no way of, like, putting it away somehow. If you're a girl, you want to put it in your purse, but it's big and it's clunky. Not that they don't fill their stuff with, you know, their purses with big and clunky stuff all the time that they don't need, but whatever. But the idea is that I guess that is the number one inconvenience that people don't carry a cup today, right? Is that they have to carry it. And maybe that's satirical. Maybe that we can make a satire about how the biggest problem in our life is that we have to carry a cup. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, the one thing that we could do to make a better planet is so simple and easy, and yet we forget to carry our cup. And I get it. Like, I totally get it. It's not something that comes standard with every backpack or you know what I mean? It's not something that's in our culture to always grab and when you're leaving, right? When I'm leaving in the morning, I don't always think, hey, grab my cup because I need my cup. You know what I mean? Like, I actually do have, you know, a cup. I actually have a, maybe I should go get it. I have a camera lens cup.
Oh yeah.
And I bring those. It around and people ask me like, why are you carrying your camera lens? I'm like, no, it's my coffee cup. And it creates like, it sparks a conversation. And I used to carry it because I'm a videographer and photographer and stuff. And I you know, kind of learned that kind of stuff, a couple of years ago, and I've been, you know, doing it all the way up until recently. And it was just a great conversation starter. It was a good way of also marketing who I was and what I did. And that's why I thought about, you know, if you had something catchy, eye candy style cup, it might say something about someone like an accessory, right? In the same way that we might wear, like girls wear earrings or a bracelet or whatever. Maybe you're going to have this cup because it symbolizes that you're a part of something. And if there's a standard version or brand of this cup, then that's a good way of like knowing that other people are part of it in some way, shape, or form. So I find maybe that's the way. Or maybe the way is that, oh man, I'm just trying to figure out how we could do this. Now I'm enthralled in killing the cup now. I'm going crazy. Yeah.
It's like that, it can become like that Jeep thing. You know, they call it the Jeep Wave. You see someone else. Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah.
So if you have your cup, you could be like, hey, I see it with the cup.
The cup cheers or something.
I conveniently pulled one out that has our logo on it.
Oh, but, there you go.
You know, something that stands out, right? That's more of like you're saying, like a fashion item.
So it's something like that. Like, so what you just pulled out, can somebody go to your website and buy that and help you guys and support your cause or donate money if you're a nonprofit to help you guys in your initiative?
Yes, they can go to the website and donate money. We've got a really fun looking donation page. We do not yet have a store. So we issued these as part of an Indiegogo campaign we did back in the spring. But 2015, we'll have a line of cups, and maybe you and I will have to further discuss how to make that a fun item.
A thing. Yeah, no, sure. I mean, well, yeah, you let us know, because I was about to say, if you do, we will promote it. We will, like, we'll set up something to let people know. Either way, we're going to set up something to let people know about your initiative, no doubt. I guess, what is the number one thing that if you had to plead, like if you had Obama in front of you for a minute or 15 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, what would you tell him? Let's play this game.
Wow, that's
what would you tell Obama about what you're doing and like how
this could be a 15? Is this the 15 minutes I get to talk to him?
No, you sure? Yeah, we've got like technically for the hour, we've got like 7 minutes left or something like that. So yeah, man, you know, give me your 5 minute pitch on what you would do with Obama. 5 minute pitch to the people listening. Let's end on that.
Cool. Well, Barack, Mr. President. I we've got a huge consumer waste problem in this country. There's a lot being done to cut emissions. You just made a huge deal with China. Fantastic. I congratulate you on that. And there's so many efforts looking at the big picture. But there's a lot of things that consumers, individuals can do on an everyday basis to reduce our impact on the environment. And I started this cool little program, Kill the Cup, to encourage people to bring a reusable cup when they get coffee. It's turning into a nationwide initiative on college campuses, and we'd love to have your support.
Nice. I'll
tell them about the educational component. You know, we're finding these passionate students in colleges that want to do something good in society, and we're giving them training and tools and resources, and we're giving them the experience of running a 4-week grassroots campaign. I've been talking with some of the kids that just finished their campaigns, and they're like, wow, you know, I never managed anything before, and I learned so much from this experience that, you know, when I take a $2,000 impact grant and fund my own idea, I know it's going to turn out so much better than if I had just done it on my own. And that's the impact we're trying to create, grow that next generation of social entrepreneurs. And Mr. President, I know you have a deep pocket. So if you want to fund this thing for like a 3-year program, I'd really appreciate that. We could use about $250,000.
How about bail out the cup? That's what I think. We, you know what we should do? We should hashtag bail out the cup, guys. If you're listening to this, hashtag kill the cup, and then hashtag bail out the cup Obama.
Yeah, let's get the president.
And then maybe bail out the cup Obama. Hashtag bail. We're gonna do this. We're gonna get Obama's attention here. We're gonna make the cup famous, like they did with Coney. Oh, that's so funny. That would be. Oh man, it's brilliant. I had this thought while you were saying that, more so than bailout. Hashtag bail out the cup Obama, which is, you know, at one point I watched a documentary that talked about the environmental impact of coffee and actually growing coffee and you know, even the coffee trade and the workers' rights and all these things are actually really big issues that, you know, fair trade and all these things, they're really involved in the coffee game and talking to Starbucks and stuff. And these might be good partners for you guys to consider talking to as well. You know, like maybe these are like, these guys are like around the corner from what you're doing in a sense, and you just need to maybe link up with them, and they might be able to, they might have programs and grant money that they can fork over to help your initiative too. I mean, that's, you know, for the people listening, coffee is actually one of the leading reasons for deforestation, which is definitely the leading cause of global warming beyond anything. Is killing trees is the worst thing we can do. And we're doing it consistently to grow more and more coffee, and we're paying shitty wages to coffee workers out there, and we're really causing some problems and environmentally and socially down in, you know, some of these warmer climates and stuff, and also, you know, we're just kind of not thinking about where that coffee cup comes from. So if you're sipping on a coffee right now and listening to this, think about Drew, think about Kill the Cup. Think about how we can get Obama to hear about this. And, man, thank you so much for taking on such a powerful and awesome initiative. Thank you so much for doing it with people who you would expect the least to take part in a weird way, right? It's like the millennials are the people we would expect the least to kind of care in some way, shape, or form. But it's, you know, it's really proving to be completely untrue. I think millennials really do give a shit about what they're doing and what impacts they're having. And it's because we have so much given to us in our life. Like we're living in such a time of prosperity and awesomeness that we're now starting to look around and being like, oh shit, we don't want to ruin this, or we don't want to create problems for our future generations. And we want other people to be able to experience this too. And so I think, this world and this, and you know, America and all these places are a better place because of initiatives like yours. So I really wanted to applaud and express a sincere thank you, all jokes aside, for the fact that you are taking Kill the Cup and making it something, making it your life mission, really. So I appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Mark, and I really appreciate the platform to come on here on Valhalla and talk about it.
Yeah, anytime.
This was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed talking with you, and it's just the beginning.
Oh, I think, yeah, this is not the last of this is not the last time you hear us speaking and you see Kill the Cup appear on the Valhalla Movement Network. And I'm sure that maybe Valhalla's logo will find its way into Kill the Cup somehow, in some way, shape, or form. We will be a part of this, guys. You hear me now. I am campaigning for the elections. no, but seriously, I we would love to be a part of it. We'd love to help. For those of you listening, how you can help right now in this exact moment is you can smash that like button, hit subscribe, comment, let us know what you think about Kill the Cup. Let us know if you have any ideas too. If you have any great ideas for Drew, send them our way through the comments. By liking this video, more people see it. By commenting, more people see it. By sharing, more people see it. Like even just your slacktivism of clicking can help. You know, don't let people call you slackers. Let them call you cup killers. and just be part of the change, guys, so we're listening, and thank you very much. Guys, don't forget to check out agency.valhallamovement.com if you want to be part of the team, if you want to help companies and initiatives like Kill the Cop. You know, these are people who could be your client or who could be working with you and who you can help empower And even if they're not your client right now, and even if they're not paying you, go find these organizations in your towns near you. Go be a part of them. Go do something. You guys are beautiful people who are full of potential and awesomeness. I know you are. So, you know, let it be heard in the world. And guys, don't forget, bring your reusable cups to Starbucks from now on. So, yeah, thank you very much, Drew. And it was a pleasure. Definitely.
Yeah, thank you. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And don't forget to rate and leave a comment. Until next time, be the hero you've always dreamed of being.